It's my pleasure to welcome Percy Faith to the studio. Mr. Faith, I'm such a big fan of your work, and it's a privilege to talk with you and discuss your brand new album.
Oh, good. It's nice being here. For me, every album is an auspicious occasion. I put everything I have into every album and then put it back and forget about it and think about the next one.
Now, I used Hello Dolly as the intro music, which is a selection from the new album. I thought it may be appropriate since your wife's name is Dolly.
Well, Dolly is my wife's nickname, you know. Her real name is Maria Carlotta, etc., but we call her Dolly.
Oh, thanks for the clarification. Hello Dolly seems to have gained a great deal of popularity.
It's a great song. It's delightful corn, as we call it.
So, from your perspective, what would you attribute its success?
It appeals immediately to people because it's derivative. It sounds like something they've heard before. They can learn it within the length of time it takes to play it through because they think they've heard it before. It's very easy to learn. Has a lot of charm and, of course, a great, great lyric. Perhaps that's what did it. It's more down-to-earth than most Broadway shows call for. You know, Broadway shows get a little ethnic, and they don't really care about the person outside of the theater. This one is pointed towards everyone.
So tell us something about the new album.
Yes, this one's called Broadway Bouquet. Now, this is actually the fourth or fifth in a series of Bouquet albums, which we started about 6 or 7 years ago. The original was called Bouquet, and it has done extremely well. I have the RIAA award, which is for the sale of, $1 million worth retail. After that, we followed it with Bouquet of Love and one or two others. And so here again, featuring the strings, we use the vehicle of the Broadway ballads, the great ballads of Broadway of the past 2 or 3 years.
Oh, the Bouquet albums, they remain some of my favorites. How about we play a track from Broadway Bouquet?
Well, supposing we go into A Quiet Thing from Flora the Red Menace. This one just appeared on Broadway, somewhere April or May of 65, I think it was. A Quiet Thing. This is Percy Faith again, and you've just heard A Quiet Thing from Floor of the Red Menace. Of course, we're playing it for you instrumentally, the song, which I think is really a great, great song with a great lyric. Of course, it speaks of this boy who assumes that when he falls in love, he's going to hear bells ring and chimes and all sorts of things are going to happen, including firecrackers, and turns out that love is a quiet thing. So there it was.
Oh, that's such a beautiful song, and I agree with you that the lyrics are quite touching. Is it safe to say that there aren't as many songs coming out of the musical stage that achieve popularity as in the past?
No, definitely not as much as we got 10, 12, 15 years ago. South Pacific, of course, I saw a preview of that show and played with two pianos. I was invited there by Dick Rogers, and I counted something like 7 or 8 big hits, and it turned out that there were 10 or 12. West Side Story has come up with quite a few, but we're getting perhaps 2 at the most, 1 as a rule, out of most of the shows. Some shows come up with no songs at all.
So we shouldn't really be gauging the quality of a musical based on whether it produces a hit or two.
That's right. I'm not saying that there aren't other good songs in the show, but it seems that they get a hold of one, and that's what they work on, and that's all the public's really going to hear, unless he's heard the show and has a retentive memory and can remember all the songs he heard.
I guess a perfect example would be Fiddler on the Roof, one of the great musicals of all time, but one that didn't produce what could be classed a big hit.
Well, I saw that show, and I was fascinated. It's a tremendously great show. But I remember only Fiddler on the Roof itself, which is an exciting piece of Kozatsky. Sunrise Sunset was a beautiful idea. Where did the years go, you know? Here today, gone tomorrow. And one other one, I think it was called If I Were a Rich Man. Didle, didle, die, die, die.
Very good. You may have a second career as a vocalist.
Well, as long as we're talking about Fiddler on the Roof, I've put together 2 of them, Sunrise Sunset and the title tune, Fiddler on the Roof. Here they are.
Thank you.
Now, you just heard two segments from a great Broadway show, Fiddler on the Roof and Sunrise Sunset. And you would have to be there, I was one of probably hundreds of thousands that have seen it, to see the great, great work of Zero Mostel. And I hope that in listening to my versions, you can visualize him if you have seen the show.
Just to change the subject for a minute, would you say you have a style? Is there a Percy Faith style that is applied to your recordings?
I don't have any style. As I approach a project, whatever it may be, it could even be jazz. It could have a tinge of the symphonic feel. If it has jazz, then I go into it with whatever I know about jazz. If it has a symphonic feel to it, then I go back to my conservatory background and use that. I have no particular style, and I think if you were looking for a secret to any success I might have, it's the word variety rather than any one particular style, as most people think in the words of style. For instance, Guy Lombardo has a style, or others have a particular sound. I don't think I have any sound. You might say the string sound. Also, people say, we love your quiet, beautiful, lovely things, but many times I use 15, 60 men with 8 and 12 brass, and they're hardly quiet, and they tend to swing away from any one style anyone would try to pin on me.
So what term bugs you the most when people describe your arrangements?
Dinner music.
Dinner music. Well, this may be a silly question, but why is that?
I'm only interested in what I call the thinking listener, the one who will sit down and try to appreciate what I've presented to him. And after all, I am writing it for him, not for myself. I can't be selfish about my writing. On the other hand, I will not write for what we call dinner music. Now, many times people will tell me that they always put my records on when they're having dinner, and this is an indirect insult, I would think, because the amount of thought and preparation and creative work that's put into an album certainly shouldn't be shoved under a table while people are having dinner.
I couldn't agree with you more. Can you expand a little more on that?
Well, take Broadway Bouquet. I've seen practically all of these shows. I am trying to put in my own words on the record, I'm trying to recapture for you that evening you had at the theater as true to the idea of the show and the intent of the composer as I possibly can. This is what I'm trying to do, and you can't put that on while you're having dinner and figure out what I'm doing.
How about we play another track from Broadway Bouquet?
Well, let's turn now to Who Can I Turn To by Anthony Newley, who did such a great job in Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. This one is from The Roar of Grease Paint, Who Can I Turn To? And again, I must mention Tony Newley, who is, to me, a triple genius, a great actor, a great mimic, and a great songwriter, and he sings and makes hit records on his own. Well, that was Who Can I Turn To When Nobody Needs Me by Leslie Bricusse and Anthony Newley. That song from Roar of the Grease Paint. And again, it's nice being here talking to you.
There's some great songs on this album, some familiar and some not so familiar. Would you mind listing them for us?
I'll give you side one. Broadway Bouquet contains Hello, Dolly from the show of the same name, Once Upon a Time from All American, Somewhere, Bernstein and Sondheim from West Side Story. This is a very little known song, really, but a great song. From Fiddler on the Roof, both Sunrise and Sunset and Fiddler on the Roof. From The Roar of the Grease Paint, Who Can I Turn To? And A Quiet Thing from Floor of the Red Menace. That's side one. On side two, we have Make Someone Happy from Do Re Mi, What Kind of Fool Am I from Stop the World, Long Ago from a new Broadway show, Half a Sixpence, The Sweetest Sounds from, perhaps a three-year-old show, No Strings by great Richard Rodgers. This one he did both lyrics and music. As Long as He Needs Me from Oliver and a theme from Golden Boy.
Changing topics for a moment, I have to ask you, what are your thoughts on rock and roll?
It's been here, I remember 10 or 12 years ago, people said, well, rock and roll will leave. Well, it was there in another form 10 years before that, so that's 20 years, and I'm sure it'll be around for another 10 or 20. I personally never had any objection to what the youngsters are interested in, because at least they're interested in music. And I have found absolutely that when they reach the age of, say, 17 or 18 and they're on their way to college, they drop it because it is sort of young stuff for them and it isn't quite the thing to listen to. And then they'll go into Brubeck or Benny Goodman or progressive jazz. They seem to find them. They begin to know about Jimmy Giuffre, for instance, and his clarinet. And around that time, I begin to get into the picture with them. And perhaps by the time they get married, when they're 21 or 22, I get a hold of them, and I like to feel I can hang on to them for another 30 or 40 years. So, as I say, they are subjected to music, such as it is, and their tastes change, and always for the better. So I have no objection at all. I don't find that it has anything to do with delinquency or any of those nasty words that are attached to rock and roll.
And what about some of the more recent music of the day?
I will admit that the current music is quite shallow and very little of it will live. I was asked a couple of years ago by Columbia to see if I could bridge that gap because they felt that the youngsters knew me and liked me. I had had a big hit with theme from Summer Place, which was really in their groove. All I did was attach strings to the triplets, and I had an objection to triplets. Mozart used them 150 years ago. So I did an album called Themes for Young Lovers, and I picked 12 decent-typed tunes that were in the top 100, and I bridged the gap. I used strings. I gave them their beat, which no musician or no listener can object to. It is a great beat, and it was quite successful. But of 45 or 50 albums that I have that are still selling, I would like to bet that 5 years ago that one will not be selling because there's nothing in there that will last, as against, for instance, this album we're talking about now, Broadway Tunes. This one, I'm sure, will still be selling 15 years from now, but not Themes for Young Lovers.
Well, you were speaking, of course, of your Themes for Young Lovers albums, which remain some of my favorites in my collection. As far as the future goes, what are your plans for upcoming projects?
There was a time, even 5 years ago, when I could pick for the year the three or four albums I was going to do. Now, we keep nothing in the icebox, and we just try to stay on top of the situation and do it album by album.
Mr. Faith, I'm curious how many albums you have recorded in your career.
Well, I've done about 42 for Columbia. One for Decca, one for Victor, one for Majestic, which makes 45.
Oh, man, unfortunately, we're running out of time. Of all the songs you've recorded, what would be one of your favorites?
Well, from the same album, Broadway Bouquet, one of the really great songs of the past 2 or 3 years, Make Someone Happy.
What a beautiful song with a beautiful message and, of course, a beautiful Percy Faith arrangement. Mr. Faith, thank you so much for doing this.
Pleasure.